Grace to you and God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand on the brink of Palm Sunday when we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and then dive right into his passion and death. As we hear our gospel lesson for today, we already know, as we have for 2,000 years, what's going to happen next. But for just a few moments, try to pretend that you don't know. Sit with Jesus and his friends around the table in the house of Lazarus in Bethany. In our gospel this morning, they don't know what's going to happen. They're not yet aware what awaits Jesus of Nazareth. And so then, as he dines in that room with those people, and Mary comes and she pours a pound of costly perfume on his feet, anointing him for death, and the smell of it, the aroma of it, fills the room, how do you see that extravagance? In the text for this morning, Judas is belittled for what he says. Seeing what Mary has done, he says, "What are you doing? This could have been sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. Why use this huge amount of money, this wonderful extravagance, for such a seemingly unnecessary thing as washing Jesus' feet?" Well, even though in the gospel text they tend to kind of belittle Judas and set him up for what will come later in the Gospel of John, I have to tell you, I'm on Judas's side. My immediate feeling when I read this story is Judas is right. I mean, any good Lutheran would know that you would not waste things quite that much. I mean, for goodness sake, we're even afraid to fully fill up the pitcher of wine on Sunday morning, lest any should go to waste. It is our way to sell the perfume, give it to the poor, to fulfill what we understand to be our duty in Christ. But of course, we do know the end of the story, and we know that Jesus will only be with them a little longer. And over time, we have come to understand that, at least in the Gospel of John, this is the only anointing that Jesus will get before he dies. And we also know that for the Gospel of John, these things must happen this way. But why? In John, we get a real insight into the fact that God is up to something new, something different. And it's fairly obvious when you really take a look at how the gospel is put together. In John, God is certainly up to something new, because everything that we expect of Jesus and of God simply doesn't happen. Nothing works out quite the way it should. John gets baptized by Jesus and not the other way around. That's not right. The disciples who Jesus calls around him are tax collectors and fishermen and even some women, not the celebrated priests of the temple. Things are not happening in the Gospel of John quite the way they should. Jesus spends more time healing and preaching out in the open than building up the church and reestablishing the temple. In fact, it turns out that for the most part, every time Jesus goes into the temple and does something, he gets into trouble. It's not what we would have expected for the Messiah. He chastises religious purity and dares to bring forgiveness to those who have sinned. He heals and he cares. And in the ultimate sign that things don't happen quite the way they should, Lazarus refuses to stay dead. It's awful. God is clearly up to something new and unexpected. Mary is anointing Jesus for a death that will not take hold, but that will culminate in a life that takes hold of us. God is up to something new. We see it even in that text in Isaiah, that wonderful text that says, I am making the sea, a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. I will not remember the former things. I am about to do a new thing, and now it springs forth. So in the Gospel of John, God is up to a new thing in anointing Jesus for his death even before it happens, in pouring himself out for the world in a way that no one expected. So why is it that we have such difficulty with new things? I have to tell you something, a confession on behalf of Scott, who will not confess this to you because he likes his job too much. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, something horrible happened. Something unheard of in the annals of our course of history. There was a saxophone in church. I am not kidding. I saw it, it sat right there, and he actually blew into the thing and made noise. Something new. When I asked Scott about it, he says, oh, I've got this great person who's going to come and play at the 8 o'clock service. It's going to be awesome. And then he said, well, so-and-so doesn't like it. I said, well, then I probably will. Some people, all of us, we just buck at God's new thing. We like what is old, and that's not necessarily bad. Tradition is wonderful. But too often we cannot open our eyes and our hearts to what God might be doing among us today. We're like Judas. Oh, for goodness sake, Mary, put that stuff away. We're going to sell it and give it to the poor because that's what we are supposed to do. It's hard to see God up to something completely different. God is pouring out this perfume on our heads, and sometimes we just want to get out the umbrellas to keep it off. Now, I have to be honest. As I've gotten older, I've gotten more and more fond of my umbrella. It's hard to conceive of and see and embrace the new thing that God is doing. Because it seems clear that unfortunately God does not seem to go through the committees to make sure it's okay first. We love the comfort of hanging on to what we know and what brings us a kind of warm feeling in our hearts. But that's not how God works. Not in the world and not in our faith. As hard as we try to hang on to what is old, it turns out that things are changing all the time. In a conversation that I had with Hope Jarin a number of years ago, we talked about trees. That's what she does. And she reminded me that trees, if you just see the same tree day after day after day, it hardly changes at all. Which is true. We planted new trees out in the parking lot 4 or 5 years ago. Every single morning, I park in the parking lot, and the tree looks pretty much the same year, day after day, year after year. It does not look like it's growing or changing because I see it every day. Until one Monday morning, I pulled up and I noticed that the wires that we had used to hold the saplings from bending in the wind, was actually holding the tree down. The tree had grown so much that the wire was digging into the tree. The church is like that. Our faith is like that. God is always bringing us new things, but we don't see them because we're here all the time. I experience it when people are away for a little while. Now, as far as I'm concerned, hardly anything has changed. But when people come back to our congregation after being away for a while, they say, "Oh my God, you've changed everything." Really? But that's what God is up to, I think, in the world. Transforming us out of our comfort and our habit to bring a new thing. Water into the wilderness. That wonderful text in Isaiah of ostriches and things running around and deserts blooming and all of that. God is up to that. And when Jesus is anointed that day, it is the beginning of the new thing that God will do in us as well. If only we have hearts that are open to what God is up to and eyes to see what God calls us to. There's nothing wrong with tradition. There is nothing wrong with doing things the same old way. But somehow, in small ways, we need to begin to hear again the newness of life. For me, it's really worship. Worship is such a habit, isn't it, for you? Right? I don't know if you ever noticed, but every once in a while, I try to figure out some new way to say the same thing over and over again. You may be seated. Please rise as you are able. Gettest thou off of thy duff? I mean, there's only so many ways that you can do it, right? But we get in, I find that it just rolls out of my head to say the same thing over and over again, as if there is nothing new. But like a saxophone playing in church, we are called to hear with new ears and see with new eyes the possibility that God is pouring out upon us like perfume, anointing us in God's grace to serve the new needs of the world. May our eyes and hearts be opened to what God is up to this day. For God is doing a new thing in Christ, in you. Amen.